MP's transport spokesperson, Andrew Powell.
ABC Radio Traffic.
In the city, a breakdown. Gympie Road still busy from Hoyland Street to Beams Road in Castledine, Centenary Highway.
We interviewed the RACQ earlier on and they've revealed that they would really like to see a public transport authority for Queensland. It was rejected by Anna Bligh a number of years back. The main reason is cost. But the RACQ haven't got the exact figure yet, but they say it's costing Queensland taxpayers around in the tens of millions of dollars at the moment. Currently having multiple layers of government, trains run by or responsible, having the state government responsible for trains, the council responsible for buses and ferries, and Translink trying to manage the timetables in those two competing government levels. I'm keen to know what you think. 1300 222 612 is the phone number. Perth does it, apparently to the satisfaction of the RACQ. Helsinki does it, apparently to the satisfaction of the RACQ. Could Queensland do it? Let me ask my guest, Jackie Trad. First we've heard about it today, but could we do it?
Good morning, Steve, and good morning to all your listeners. A single public transport authority is not a new concept. The RACQ putting it forward as a proposition for Southeast Queensland is absolutely commendable. In fact, the Strawn Commission of Inquiry recommended that we have a look at the governance around public transport services here in the Southeast Queensland corner, and it is something that we are following through in terms of all of the recommendations of the Strawn Commission of Inquiry. But
so it's on the table.
Having a listen to Paul Turner this morning, he hit the nail on the head, absolutely. This isn't actually about politics so much as it is about multi-jurisdictional levels of administration providing services. And that's also even further fragmented by the fact that there are a lot of private sector players in the field as well.
So is it on the table?
It is being investigated, and the reports that I committed to publishing around our Fixing the Trains response to the Strawn Commission of Inquiry details the work that we have done to date around this. Absolutely. In a growing city, in a growing region, we will be expecting 2 million more additional people to call Southeast Queensland home, and we do need to address the biggest issue confronting us, and that is congestion and mobility.
And is it costing currently Queenslanders tens of millions of dollars, this multi-jurisdictional problem of Translink trying to match up the operations of QR and the buses and the ferries run by the council?
Look, I'm not sure where RACQ has gotten that figure from.
They don't have an exact figure yet. Yeah. That's a ballpark figure. They're still examining the figure.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have a look at how they've actually modelled that before I actually comment on it. But it is, I think, something that a lot of public transport advocates have been talking about for quite some time. I'm sure that Robert Dow will probably call in sometime this morning. It's certainly something that he has been talking about as well.
Andrew Powell, would the LNP support one public transport authority?
Well, good morning, Steve, and can I also say good morning to your listeners? I think the proposal has a lot of merit, but what I'm hearing from commuters in particular at the moment is they probably don't want us to spend 12 to 18 months restructuring the Department of Transport and Main Roads and those bus services from Brisbane City Council. They want us to get trains running on time. And so my concern would be, is if we did commit to that, we would be not focusing on the main game, and that is getting commuters to and from their jobs, getting them home to their families on time. And I think that will be the first priority of an LNP government should we be elected.
You've read the Strawn report, I assume?
Yes.
It's suggested in the Strawn report?
Yes.
And you support the Strawn report?
Yes.
But you don't support it?
No, as I said, it has merit. It certainly deserves investigating. But I think the priority, as the Strawn report said, the priority is to get those trains running on time, get commuters to and from their jobs and families.
Jackie Trad, why is there decreased or reduced patronage on the trains of Southeast Queensland?
Thanks, Stephen. I think we have seen decreased patronage on both trains and buses. And in fact, I think buses accounted for the most significant decrease in public transport patronage in the last financial year. Again, Paul Turner, enunciated what I have been saying for a while. Reliability is a critical issue. Reliability in public transport, convenience, and that last mile in the journey proposition. Currently, here in Southeast Queensland, we are providing more public transport or train services for Southeast Queensland commuters today than we did, than Andrew did when his government was in power.
Is that almost right, Andrew Powell?
500 more additional services.
Is that right, Andrew Powell? Do you agree?
Each and every week.
They did open a new railway line, Steve, the Redcliffe Peninsula
line.
All right,
so. Correct. So she's correct.
And it is providing public transport services. And on-time running has hit 95%. We are seeing that reliability and satisfaction around costing of public transport fares has also increased. It's the highest it has been since 2012, Steve. But what we fundamentally need to unclog our public transport network is to deliver a second rail crossing called Cross River Rail. And Paul Turner from the RACQ also said that this is the solution. And Metro, these two projects are the solution to unclogging our public transport network and making sure that people can turn up to stations, turn up to bus stops, and not even have to look at a timetable.
So you've been in power for 3 years and it's still not working?
Well, I think, Steve, just those key statistics that I spoke to just then do demonstrate that the public transport system is working. Is there occasionally instances where it goes wrong? Of course. Was there a significant problem in terms of not having enough drivers, which Strawn himself identified started happening in 2014 when the Newman government froze the recruitment of train drivers and also sacked trainer drivers? Yes, there has been a long-running problem here and we are determined to fix it.
But so the opposition is to blame?
I think this problem has been 5 years in the making, Steve, and Strawn
made
that.
So that would be caused by the opposition then?
Strawn made it abundantly clear that it was 5 years in the making. There were organisational deficiencies, but if there hadn't have been a recruitment freeze back in 2014, we would have had additional train drivers on the system now.
Andrew Powell, why did your side of politics freeze train drivers and sack training train drivers?
Well, Steve, I can categorically rule that out from the start. We didn't sack any tutor drivers, and there was a right to information that demonstrated that that was not the case.
So Jackie Chad's being misleading?
That's right. The Deputy Premier is lying on this one.
They took one of the 14,000 redundancies, Steve, that happened under Tim Nicholls' watch.
A number
retired. So they're saying they weren't sacked. They took voluntary redundancies.
Is that a distinction that you want to address? It was a redundancy, not a sacking?
There were a number who retired. There were a number who took redundancies. That was in 2014. 2015, there was an election. Even if you use the current government's projected timeframes to train a driver, 12 months, the Redcliffe Peninsula line was opened 18 months after the 2015 election. There is no reason why this minister sitting next to me could not have asked Queensland Rail, have you got everything sorted for the opening of the Redcliffe Peninsula line? Have you started recruiting drivers? Have you got enough for the anticipated increase in services? Steve, if I can just address...
Why do you think then that patronage is decreasing on public transport? It's been doing so since 2008, I should point out.
Complete and utter lack of confidence in the public transport system, particularly under this government. I mean, Steve, if I can just go back, under the LNP government, we did put on 3,000 extra weekly services on our buses and trains. We halved Anastasia Palaszczuk's 15% fare increases year on year, and then in 2014 offered the first 5% reduction across the entire state. We got our trains running on time. We had 15-minute services off-peak on 40 stations across the network. And we actually had the first increase in patronage in the 5 years leading up to that. We've seen it fall off
the cliff. You had an increase in patronage.
Correct. First time in 5 years during our term in government. Since then, it's fallen off a cliff. And that's because people have no confidence in the public transport system. They're jumping back in their cars. And that's why we're seeing the congestion across our Southeast Queensland road network.
It's 9:15. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. If you'd like to put a question to either Jackie Trad or Andrew Powell, 1300 222 612 is the phone number. You can call now. Let me move on. We hear on the weekend that Queensland Rail is talking about offering, or is in negotiations to offer, incentive payments to Queensland Rail drivers to not take sickies during the Commonwealth Games. If this is true, Jackie Trad, how is this anything other than rewarding corrupt or rotting behaviour?
Thanks, Steve. And can I say...
Is it true?
Can I say from the outset, of course it's true, and we saw that public transport drivers at the Sydney Olympics were offered incentives as well. This is not uncommon, Steve, that we offer...
Isn't that the problem right there, that in rail unions this is common practice?
The rail unions have not asked for this. It is common practice in large-scale events that there is an incentives or allowances for people on the front line, because we do know that there is going to be an extraordinary amount of work to undertake during that period of time, and we will have to shift around drivers.
Sorry, but it is the rail unions that negotiate on behalf of drivers.
Yes, I know, but it's not the rail unions that have suggested this. The organisation Queensland Rail is looking and preparing for the Commonwealth Games, looking at a whole range of mechanisms to ensure that we have as many trains running on time and down to the Commonwealth Games to move millions of people during the Commonwealth Games. And in order to do that, we're looking at a whole range of mechanisms, Steve.
So QR would have told you about this before they started negotiating with the drivers?
Yes, I was aware of this, yes.
So you'd read the Strawn report, and Strawn pointed out that the rorting of sick leave was one of the key contributors to the now infamous rail fail.
I don't think Strawn actually called it rorting. He said because of the undersupply of drivers.
I think the manipulation of sick leave.
Because of the undersupply of drivers, Steve, there is a reliance on overtime, and that's what we need to change.
Exacerbated by sick leave?
No.
Sick leave was mentioned in the Strawn report, wasn't it? Sick leave was spoken about specifically in the Strawn inquiry report.
As Transport Minister, can I tell you, I know that a number of train drivers are working extraordinarily long hours because we do have an undersupply of train drivers in Queensland, and Strawn made that abundantly clear. I'm sure that many train drivers, just like any other Queenslander, get sick occasionally and need to take sick leave.
But apparently they get sick on Fridays a lot.
Yeah, well, Steve, I'm not going to go into that, quite frankly. I think there are a lot of people who take Fridays off or are sick on Fridays. I don't think it's just train drivers where we see that peak. But what we want to do is make sure that we are running the most efficient and reliable public transport system for the Commonwealth Games.
Andrew Powell, is it common practice amongst other states for when there's a major public event to offer incentive payments to not take sick leave during events like the Commonwealth Game, as Jackie Trett just told me?
Well, the reference was given on the weekend that it occurred in Sydney for the Olympic Games. But, Steve, that was 17 years ago. Surely in the lead-up to Commonwealth Games, this government has done enough preparatory work to make sure that they've got the public transport system, the road system, ready for the Commonwealth Games. I reckon if you polled your listeners and said if you got paid an incentive for turning up when you thought you might be sick, they'd all just laugh. Most people just want to be able to get paid for their existing job and perhaps a bonus for doing a good job, not for just turning up. I find it extraordinary.
Well, let me ask you, you may be in government when the Commonwealth Games is on, so will the LNP offer or support the decision to offer incentive payments to QR drivers during the Commonwealth Games so that they don't take sick leave?
I'm not willing to make that commitment today, Steve, because...
Why not?
Well, because...
You're an alternative government.
Understood. But we want to have a look at what plans this government has made, both public and
not
made.
Well, here's the plan. Their plan is, Jackie Trad just explained it, they're going to pay. It's a common practice to pay train drivers during major events like the Commonwealth Games. You've got to be able to tell me, you're an alternative government, you've got to be able to say whether you'll support it or not, whether you'll do the same thing.
Steve, that's one part of the public plan we've heard from this government. We've also heard that trucks need to be in the left lanes on the N1.
So train drivers cannot rely on an LNP government to offer incentive payments to not take sick leave during the Commonwealth Games.
Steve, we've also heard that there may be lines closed across the South East Queensland network, Shorncliffe, Redcliffe lines, to make sure there are additional drivers on the Gold Coast lines. I want to actually see what this government is planning through their Gold Coast Commonwealth Games transport plan before I make those kind of commitments.
My guest, Andrew Powell. Andrew Powell is the LNP's transport spokesperson, and the ALP's Transport Minister, Jackie Trett, is also here. Andrew Powell, why did the LNP lump Queensland with the new generation rolling stock trains that were so problematic, so unfit for purpose, that Jackie Trett had to go to the Human Rights Commission and apply for exemptions for the Commonwealth Games? So badly designed are they? And that was clearly a decision by your side of politics when you're in government.
Well, thanks, Steve. A couple of facts. First of all, we hear a lot of lies, basically, that somehow we overlooked an Australian company for the purchase.
I haven't asked you about that.
Just a bit of background on the new generation.
I haven't got time for background. Just answer my question.
Well, first of all,
did you lump Queensland with these trains that were not fit for purpose?
First of all, the Australian company didn't tender, so you couldn't give that company the jobs because they didn't tender, and that was during the Bligh Labor government when
Thank you, but I haven't asked you that question. Answer my question.
When we ordered these trains,
half price from India.
from the same company that Anastasia Palaszczuk ordered light trains, trams for the Gold Coast, Bombardier, a very reputable company. You had the Director General of Transport and Main Roads on your show about this time last year, and he said the issues were minor. So clearly, from the time we were in government through to 2016, everything was on track. The question is, Steve, is what has happened since? We do know that the unions have got into the ear of the Deputy Premier. There have been significant modifications to the carriages. And my question is, have those modifications actually impacted on things like the disability access?
Was your government planning to modify the carriages?
No. To put cubby holes for guards, no.
All right.
We want guards patrolling the trains.
That is ridiculous, Andrew. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Nick Easy was on the program last year, did say that they were minor issues. Are they minor issues?
Can I say, in relation to the minor issues, what Nick was referring to was installing things like screens or sight lines at stations in order to make the NGR trains far more acceptable to the Queensland Railway System. What you are talking about, Steve, and what Andrew is trying to avoid answering is why did they order trains that did not comply with Queensland disability access standards? We now have got to fix these trains, to rectify these trains, because if you're in a wheelchair and you use one of these trains, you cannot use the toilet. You cannot use the toilet.
And this is what the human rights exemption request is about.
Absolutely, Steve. And you cannot use the hallway. And that is exactly due to the fact that when the LNP came into government, they changed the design. They removed the guard cabin altogether from the middle of the train, and they removed guards. They actually wanted these only driver-only trains. And we need guards to help the elderly, the infirmed, people with prams hop on the train.
Why did you do that, Andrew Powell? Why did your side of politics do that?
Because we've seen that model work in a lot of other countries, as you were referring earlier on to the RSEQ and places like Helsinki and so on. We've also got station staff who can assist those passengers that require assistance onto the trains. So the reality
is... You think disabled people need to go to the toilet?
Steve, my understanding when we left government was these trains were meeting specifications.
They were
the question, not, as I've said...
you signed the contract.
Sorry, Steve,
changed,
I was trying to answer your question.
Keep going.
As I said to you, what has occurred since is a change to the design where the guard carriages, guard cubby holes have been added again.
That guard
and
cubby holes, this is just misinformation,
well,
Steve.
Let him finish his misinformation, then I'll give you a chance to respond. Finish, Andrew Powell.
My question, Steve, is has that impacted on the disability access? And that's my concern. When we left government, to my knowledge, and it was confirmed by Nick Easy and Neil Scales, everything was on track.
Jackie Tratt.
Steve, what we are talking about is disability access. Guard cubby holes? We don't have guard cubby holes. We have a train that has a cabin on either end, so it can go north and south, east and west. And Andrew needs to do his homework.
So what will this cost the taxpayer of Queensland to solve this problem?
What we have in contingency is an allocation of over $100 million. We are still doing the exact cost, Steve, but what we've had from Andrew is absolute misinformation here. They changed the design in relation to the toilet specifically, and the trains, and they have made them unfit for purpose if you are in a wheelchair.
Right.
The same way that Andrew is providing misinformation about patronage, for example. Patronage is higher on our railway system each and every year, since the LNP government.
Will the new generation rolling stock be rolling on the train lines before November 25?
We are determined that these trains will be in service for the Commonwealth Games.
Will they be before November 25?
Well, I can't tell you that. The last time that we had a conversation about this, Steve, we had reduced the number of critical issues from almost 500 to less than 20. And we are, Queensland Rail, Queensland Engineers are resolving those issues as we speak.
All right. Back in 2009, then-Premier Anna Bligh promised duplication of the Sunshine Coast Rail Line. It was due to be completed by 2012. Why didn't it happen?
So, Steve, I think at the time in 2009, but I might have to double-check this, the floods happened, the 2010-11 season of natural disasters, and a lot of money was rediverted into the task of rebuilding our state after that. But what we have done as a government is we have progressed the business case and supplied it to Infrastructure Australia and also the federal department. We know that duplication is a critical issue. We've duplicated the Helens Vale to Coomera down the Gold Coast in anticipation of the Commonwealth Games. We've finished the business case for Cross River Rail, and you know we're fully funding it and we're starting to deliver it. So the really important question here is, is the LNP going to scrap Cross River Rail? I think both sides of politics are absolutely committed to the duplication.
It wasn't my question. I'll come to Andrew Powell.
No, well, I think it's important because you cannot duplicate the Sunshine Coast line if you only continue to have one rail crossing.
I'll come to Andrew Powell.
Across the Brisbane River.
How important is the duplication of the rail line to the Sunshine Coast?
Oh, number one infrastructure project for the state on the Sunshine Coast, without a question.
Over and above Cross River Rail?
Well and truly. And I dispute that suggestion that somehow Sunshine Coast commuters need Cross River Rail before they need a duplication on the Sunshine Coast. You mentioned that it stopped in 2009. It was ironic.
It was promised in 2009.
No.
It was supposed to be completed by 2012.
That's correct. There's actually an ad. One of my constituents brought it out again from Arup saying all systems go, construction's continuing. And then within a month of my election as the member for Glasshouse, which most of those stations are in, the project stopped. And
so
instead the money was spent on the Springfield line and on the Redcliffe Peninsula line. Now, if you tell my commuters on the Sunshine Coast...
Let him finish. Let you have an unimpeded response. So keep going.
If you tell my commuters on the Sunshine Coast they have to wait for a $15 billion 10-kilometre tunnel in Brisbane and South Brisbane before they get a duplicated line on the Sunshine Coast, it just doesn't fly. That's not going to get them to their jobs. That's not going to get them to their families. And we've seen from the patronage figures, from the number of trains going over Merivale Street, from how full those trains are, and from the documents that the Labor government have put out themselves, that Cross River Rail isn't needed till 2026 anyway. The rail duplication on the coast is needed far sooner than that, Steve.
So rail duplication to the Sunshine Coast is a priority over and above Cross River Rail for the LNP?
Well, that's why we've announced it in the first week of the election campaign. We'll put $300 million to that, and we're looking to our federal colleagues to match that from their National Rail Fund, and that's why we want to get that vital piece of infrastructure built for the commuters on the Sunshine Coast.
It's 28 minutes past nine. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests are the LNP's transport spokesperson, Andrew Powell, and the ALP's transport minister, Jackie Trad. I'm Steve Austin. Andrew Powell, taxis.